Blog Talk Radio. This is Thursday, December 10th, 2015. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. We have football like we normally do, but we are going to start off with basketball. And today we're doing both college and pro. Yo, I don't have to talk about college football today. I mean, I'm not talking about Army and Navy, and I surely could care less who's going to be the Heisman Trophy winner. So let's get to it. Got to go to the NBA first. And anybody remember the San Antonio Spurs? I mean, I know it's hard to forget. I mean, the last, what, 2-3 weeks in a row, I've talked about the Warriors every single time being undefeated. But remember the Spurs? Yeah, well, they actually lost last night to the Toronto Raptors. Can you believe that? But the fact is, that made them 18-5. That's right. Before that, they were 18-4. They were smoking, but nobody even paid attention to them because the Warriors have gone to the all-time, and the Warriors are still really good. But they're altogether different, and they've done it, and nobody's really even paid attention. I just look at the roster for right now. Their superstar is without question. Kawhi Leonard, he's averaging 21 points a game, and he's the only player on the team averaging over 30 minutes a game. He's averaging just under 34 minutes a game. Everybody else, they're not averaging 30 minutes a game. That includes LaMarcus Aldridge. He's, you know, doing well, 15.4 points a game, just under 9 rebounds a game. He's doing it under 30 minutes a game. And then you talk about the main people. What about Tim Duncan? Hey, Tim Duncan is putting up decent numbers, shooting over 50%, but he's averaging under 10 points a game. He is getting just under nine rebounds a game, and he has 3 assists a game. He's playing well there. But the fact of the matter is, let's get real, he's playing 27 minutes a night. He's not being as productive. Now, everybody's talking about, oh, how Kobe is falling off and this and that and the other, but the difference is that Tim Duncan, he has an organization behind him that is actually competent. Instead of what the Lakers have done with the Buss family have done with the Laker organization, it has been horrible. All from front to back, it has been dreadful just looking at what the Lakers have done throughout the last, I'd say 4 years. Here's, in my opinion, the best move they've done is not signed Dwight Howard. I'm not going to even go there right now. But anyway, the Spurs right now, they're coming up here. They're 18. If they're doing it methodically like they normally do, they're not playing up. They're not playing people a lot of minutes. You see Popovich coming up here. They're resting his players like he always does. He knows he has the rest of Duncan's. He knows he has the rest of Ginobili's. He knows he has the rest of Parker's. And he's doing it the way he normally does. They're not getting a lot of minutes per game. Like I said, the only one averaging over 30 minutes a game is Kawhi Leonard. And even though Parker and Duncan are averaging 27 minutes a game, I even think that'll go down. I believe Patty Mills will get more time. I believe Kyle Anderson is going to get more time through this season. I even think Ray McCallum, maybe the last guy on the bench, I even think he's going to get more time. I think they're all going to get more time as the season goes on. I mean, you got David West out there. He's not even playing 15 minutes a game yet. Yet you add those minutes in there, you take Duncan's down, you tell Duncan, hey, we'll holler at you when playoff time comes. That's when he wakes up anyway. But the Spurs and the Warriors, they're an aberration. What is going on with the Western Conference this year? Are you kidding me? They have been awful. And none has been more apparent than the teams I'm going to talk about in a little while. Matter of fact, this is going to be the show when it comes to the NBA. What is with the West? The New Orleans Pelicans. Remember them last year? Remember how they made the playoffs, played really gutty against the Warriors, but they did get swept. And the Pelicans, arrogantly, they fire Monty Williams. Good job, Pelicans. I mean, hey, what could you, what more could you have done to ensure that the team was going to do well? I mean, hey, it obviously was the coach's fault. Well, I mean, he would, had to be totally at fault here, right? Well, I don't know about that, because right now, New Orleans Pelicans, that's right. Anybody want to guess what their record is? 5-16. Alvin Gentry, he's not a bad coach, but the fact is they don't have much out there. Their injuries to their guards have played havoc with them, and they have one of the best guard units out there. I don't care what anybody says. Not too many people who have guards like Drew Holiday, Eric Gordon, and Tariq Evans in the same backcourt. And we're not even talking about Norris Cole right now or Ishmael Smith. No, we're talking about those three guys who could do serious damage. They're all they're all in their, I'm not going to say early 20s, mid-20s. They're injured. Drew Holiday, he can hardly play. He's coming up here. He's playing less than 22 minutes a game. That's less than half the game. He's still giving you over 11 points a game and just under 5 assists a game and less than half of the game being played. Eric Gordon, not the same score. Remember, he came into NBA scoring 20 points a game. Now he can barely score 16 a night. This is in 30. This is over 33 minutes a game. You got Tariq Evans, pretty much the same thing. He can't stay healthy. He played his fourth game the other night. He's being really versatile when he's out there. And so you have Anthony Davis putting up MVP numbers again. I mean, he's still doing the same thing he was doing. You know, typical 24 points, just under 11 rebounds, just under 3 blocks. He's doing the things he normally does. But the fact is that they have no guards. They don't have a bench either. But they don't have much out there. 5-16, and you have Anthony Davis on the team. You have to be awful. No, we can keep on going. What is going on with the two other top contenders in the Western Conference? You know the routine. What is with the Thunder? What is with the Clippers? Let's start with the Thunder. 13-8. Was something wrong with Durant? Well, he did miss a couple of games, but he's doing what he normally does. Does, you know, 28-8-4. You pretty much know what he's doing. Russell Westbrook, same thing. 26-7-10. And I did say 10. That was the assist part. 10 a game. Man, now, where's the rest of everybody? And I put my query on one guy, Serge Ibaka. 13 points a game, 7 rebounds. Are you serious? You're almost getting max dollars. And the fact is that you are there because you are there, and James Harden is the reason why the Thunder really got huge, huge problems right now. Now, they cannot go anywhere, and thus they're stuck in 13-8. And right now, to me, they almost have to start making some more deals, even though they made all of the moves last year to make that run for last year's championship, assuming that Durant would be healthy. But you got to take a long look at this team and say, hey, we might have to dispose of some people. We might have to start over because this team just not going anywhere. Or you can keep it together, keep paying the money. Hopefully they gel together. But right now this group is not playing well. 13-8. And, you know, to me, they're getting marvelous play this year from Aries Kanter. Aries Kanter would get 8 boards a game in like 20, 25 minutes a night. I mean, that's unbelievable. Go over there to the other team, the Los Angeles Clippers. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? They got the same issues they keep having year in and year out. Blake Griffin does the work. 25-9-5. He's doing his damage like he normally does. And then you go to the other two guys who make all the money. Chris Paul has dropped off. 17. He gets 3 boards a game. And under 9 assists a game. He's playing 31, just under 32 minutes a game. And, but the big problem, as always, that's right, DeAndre Jordan. I know they just signed him. but he's not scoring any more than he scored last year. Matter of fact, he's scoring less than he did last year. And free throws, come on, are you serious? He's not even hitting 400. It's 385 from the free throw line. Are you kidding me? I mean, how bad is that? Just awful from the free throw line. He's not giving you any more scoring. Now the Clippers, when they don't have a big-time post play, because anytime you give it to Jordan, you just foul him. And Blake Griffin, he's not just a post player. He goes all over the place, shoots little jumpers here and there, does a little damage here and there. But the fact is, Clippers are really And this just is telling the tale of what's going on in the Western Conference. The West is slipping. I mean, look at the Eastern Conference right now. The Detroit Pistons, they're 12-11. They are the number 10 team in the Eastern Conference. Well, wait a minute. That means they're over 500, and they're not in the playoff race. Yet, if you look in the Western Conference, the Houston Rockets are 11-12. They're number 8 in the West. They're in the playoffs. So the dynamics have switched. The Eastern Conference is now the big-time conference with multiple teams doing much work. We don't talk about the Washington Wizards in the playoffs right now. We haven't said anything about the Detroit Pistons in the playoffs right now. We haven't. We haven't talked about those teams. And right now, the Eastern Conference says, hey, we're better than you guys. And they may well be, but the West really slipping. I do think that'll change, but right now, the East is holding the upper hand. In college basketball, I had to laugh the other day. My man John Calipari, holy mackerel. I mean, what's wrong with him? He comes up, and he's complaining that Kentucky isn't the same defensively. Really? I mean, come on. Come on, John. I mean, my gosh. Isn't the same defensively compared to last year? They gave up 54.3 points a game. That was the number 3 defense in the entire nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about scoring defense. They do not hold the ball up. They do not slow the ball down. They do not have a methodical zone gimmick defense. No. They play up and down. They play pressure defense. And the fact is, they held people to 54.3 points a game last year. 54.3. This year, they're holding people to 65.6. Now, they're scoring more this year as well. No, they're scoring over 80 points a game this year. Last year, they scored a little over 74. But, you make adjustments during the season. But the fact is, Calipari really think they're going to have the number 3 defense in the country again? I mean, my word, all that they had last year. How many dudes you put in the NBA last year here, Calipari? My goodness. Goodness, and they're 8-1 right now. Wow. Anyway, Kansas, my national championship pick, they're 7-1. They're doing it just the opposite way. They're putting points on the board, 91 points a game. Number 4, they're 4th in the country, and they still got the same cast of characters. I mean, you know their name: Wayne Selden, Frank Mason, Perry Ellis. Only dude that's new is Chick Diablo, and he really hadn't gotten going yet. Once he gets it going, you know it could be big, big time for that team. They're 7-1 right now. Don't really sweat it. You know the Jayhawks are going to get it going. How about the nation's leading scorer is? That's right. It's here. It's in the nation's capital. You know how we do. We keep them going now. It ain't like we have anything that's getting away from you. I know we talk about Melo Trimble doing this thing. We talk about Georgetown. Hey, I haven't even said anything about GW. GW's 8-1. They beat Virginia this year. Nobody's talking about that. Got to go over here, and we're going to talk about a team. Never talk about Howard University. Howard University, that's right. They're 7-4. Because they lost to Purdue yesterday. Got blown out. Hey, Purdue's going to blow out a lot of people in West Lafayette this year. You wait and see all that size they got on that squad. But anyway, they're 1-1 in the MEAC, and they had the leading scorer in the country, James Daniel. He's averaging 28.4 points a game. And how is he doing it? He's going to the free throw line. All you youngsters out there, pay attention to this. James Daniels going to the free throw line, 11.8 free throws a game. And you know what he's doing? He's shooting just under 87% per game. I mean, he's going to the free throw line and he's not missing. Plus, last MEAC game they had, he hit the game winning field goal against North Carolina Central, won the game with 1 second left. And Howard again, like I said, Howard's 1-1 in the MEAC right now, really doing some really good things. And James Daniels, a big-time player, by far the most talented player in the MEAC, unless there's someone I haven't seen, and I've seen most of the MEAC this season. Got to give credit to James Daniels, leading the nation in scoring. And then what about the class of 2014 for Duke? I mean, it is sick right now what they are doing. Grayson Allen is right now tearing it up over in the NCAAs. You know, he's wrecking shop, less than 5 points a game last year. Now he's averaging almost 22 a night. He's been putting on a show. Most people saw the show. Most people didn't see the show because it was on Sunday. But the show he put on Georgetown this year. What about that class? He had Jahlil Okafor. He's one and done. He's the third pick in the draft. Then you have Juris Winslow. He's one and done. He's number 10 pick. And then you have Tyrus Jones. He's one and done. He's the number 24 pick. And the only dude that came back, Grayson Allen, is tearing it up in the college basketball this season. Are you kidding me? One of the real great class recruiting classes you'll see in college basketball right there for the Duke Blue Devils. All right, well, I spent a lot of time with basketball. Hey, it's been a little while. I haven't been able to spend much time with hoops. You got to understand. Okay, now I'm going to try to get through all this stuff in football real quick. In the NFL, we are on week 14. It's playoff time. It's do or die. Pretty much any game that has playoff relevance, I'm pretty much going to try to preview it, and I got to do it real fast here. Got to start, okay, with the Skins. Yeah, don't get me started on Monday night. I am still wounded about Monday night. I've pretty much thrown in the towel. Why have I thrown in the towel? Very simple. The Skins, they're 0-9 on the road. The last time they won a road game, they were in Dallas. You realize how long ago that was? Matter of fact, they're 1-18 since 2013 on the road. They allow almost 33 points a game on the road. They get crushed on the road. They don't get beat. They get crushed. And they're playing a Bears team that's a little bit scary. Jay Cutler, he only has 7 interceptions this year. No multi-turnover games like he normally has. They will be missing Martellus Bennett. But the fact of the matter is that they may get Eddie Royal back in their first-round draft pick, Kevin White, who hasn't played all year. So the Bears could be a sleeper this week. Skins, you better be on your P's and Q's or it is season over. If they lose to the Bears, I'm saying right now, they go 5-8, season over. Meanwhile, in Denver, got to talk about the Raiders and the Broncos. Don't want to, but I got to. Derek Carr, he struggles against the Broncos. 4 interceptions, 4 touchdowns when he plays them. Last week, he had his worst performance with his 3 interceptions in the fourth quarter against the Chiefs. They were winning, everybody. People that don't even understand it, they were winning 20-14 when the first interception hit, and he held the ball too long. And thus all playoff relevance went flying out the window, and so now he's coming up against the Broncos, who beat up but wear back, and of course they have dominated the Raiders lately. They won their last 3 home games against the Raiders, who hasn't in the AFC West. But how about this? They won it by a combined score of 121-41. They just blitzed them, tore them up. The Broncos, they're right now number 2 in the AFC, but they're gaining momentum for their game against Cincinnati on the 28th. You know, that might be for first place in the AFC. I know the Patriots might have something to say, but they might not. Who knows? Meanwhile, the Vikings going up against the Cardinals tonight. Hey, the Vikings, they are really reeling. Adrian Peterson with his criticism of the coaching staff this week. Hey, I might say the same thing. I'm leading the league in rushing, and I touched the ball 8 times for 18 yards against Seattle, and it's game over, drive home safely. Well, that is true, and now they're coming up against Arizona, who very quietly, very, very quietly, the second hottest team in the league. They're eyeing their first seven-game win streak since 1974. You know Jim Hart and the crew was out there doing the big then. And they just, well, I mean, lastly, they just rolled over the Rams. They had over 500 yards total offense. Since you better watch out now. Now, the Arizona Cardinals, they're going to start emerging. Don't let them get any home field because that place rocks. It's indoors. People forget. Meanwhile, in Cincinnati, you got a big one. Pittsburgh is coming to town, and they're coming for Bear, where they have been doing it big. Their last four games, they're averaging over 35 points a game, just under 36, and they're averaging 529 yards per game. They're scoring 30 or more for four straight games. Ben Roethlisberger and country has got it rolling, and you really have to deal with them because now they have Bryant to go with Brown in a wide receiver, even though they lost Le'Veon Bell. D'Angelo Williams is coming in and being big time. The Bengals, hey, they play big time against the Steelers. Well, let me say one dude plays big time against the Steelers. That's A.J. Green. He always plays well against the Steelers. I think he has something like 8 catches in his last 5 games. Well, maybe 5 out of 6, maybe that was it, against the Steelers. Big game for both teams. I believe it's big for both clubs. But if the Bengals slip off, people don't want Denver to get the home field. I mean, man, you know how that place is. You know how Tom Brady doesn't like going to Denver as well. Meanwhile, in Kansas City, hottest team in the AFC, in my opinion, the Chiefs, they are rolling. Their first four games, they were awful defensively, giving up 35 points a game. Ever since then, their last 8, they've given up 14 points a game. They have been solid defensively, and Andy Reid has been doing it by blowing dudes out. They're winning by almost 20 points a game in their last 6 games, and they've been getting the ball too. That's right. Jeremy Maclin, of course, he knows about him. He drafted him in Philadelphia. And, of course, Chip Kelly lets him go. Now, next thing you know, Maclin is doing damage in Kansas City, just tearing it up. You know the Chargers, they're really struggling. Lost 7 out of 8. Phillip Rivers, he has 9 interceptions this year, 5 pick sixes. That's almost Matt Schaub-like. In New York, Tennessee's coming to town. Hey, the Jets, man, you got to give them credit. Their two offensive stars are playing big time in Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brandon Marshall. Hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick has 22 touchdowns this season. His career high is 24, and Brandon Marshall, he's doing what he always does. He's just ripping up the number book. He does what he does. He comes up here about to hit 1,000 yards for his 8th time in 10 seasons, and then he comes up, he's about to get 100 catches for his 6th time in his career. He's just unbelievable. And the Jets come up here, they take out the Titans, they get on a little bit of a roll here, and do some big-time damage. All right, now, here we go. Going Buffalo and Philadelphia. Why don't we say this? The NFC East goes through Buffalo. I mean, hey, it does. That's who you got to deal with. That's who they're dealing with nowadays. That's no pun intended, because the Bills, hey, their next couple of games against the NFC East. Yes, they play the Eagles, and then after that they go to Washington, play the Skins, and then after that they play the Cowboys at home. So they're going. So if the Bills get hot, they can wreck the NFC East. If they get cold, they can make the NFC East. Bills coming up here. You know LeSean McCoy is going to be ready to get rock and roll against the Eagles. Eagles, you've already heard the bad blood him and Chip Kelly been saying. Well, Chip Kelly hasn't said a word, but what LeSean McCoy has been saying, and plus 100 yards in 6 consecutive games, he's trying to tie his mark of 7, the most he's ever had, 7. He did it 7 times in 2013. Hey, got to mess around there and give Sam Bradford some run. I've been getting on him all year. Hey, 0 interceptions in 128 straight attempts. Got to give him credit there. I mean, you know, I get on him as much as I get on him. Got to mess around there and give him credit where credit is due. Hey, big game for the Eagles. Well, I think that's standard course. Of course, is you got three teams in first place in the NFC East. Meanwhile, in Tampa Bay, the Saints. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? They are just falling apart. They're in danger of losing their fifth in a row. They've allowed 40 or more points in three of their last five games. But what about Tampa Bay? Tampa Bay is starting to get it done. Man, they couldn't stop anybody early in the year. And in their last four games, they've given up less than 17 points a game. And what about Doug Martin come back into everybody's consciousness? Second in the league in rushing, doing his thing. And then how about this? They can go over 500 this week. They're 6-6. The Buccaneers, six and six. They can go over 500 for the first time in 3 years. Remember that year they went 10-6? But we're not going to talk about that right now because that'll just get me upset. Meanwhile, in Jacksonville, the Colts playing the Jaguars. This is a big game. I know y'all looking at me funny, but it is a big game. The Jaguars, they're four and eight. The Colts are leading the division at 6-6 with the Texans, who's also 6-6. The Jaguars win. They can make some inroads here. And we know Hasselbeck, he had that mild rib separation and stiff neck. We don't know how he's going to feel during the week. They know they got to win this one because they got the showdown against the Texans next week. And then you got Blake Bortles. He's already broken the record for the Jaguars single-season touchdown mark. He's doing it big over there in Jacksonville. What about Baltimore? Oh, my goodness, here comes Seahawks. They're starting to get hot. Russell Wilson, 11 touchdowns in the last three games. Five of them have gone to Doug Baldwin. He has been brilliant. Matter of fact, he's caught 17 of his last 22 targets. Seattle has been big time, and we don't even know if the Ravens are going to have Matt Schaub. He's on the concussion protocol, and if Matt Schaub is not able to go, that's right, Jimmy Clausen will be out there for the Ravens. Man, it has dropped really fast for the Ravens in the quarterback category in Green Bay. That's right, the Cowboys got to go to Green Bay. Okay, look here, Green Bay, take care of the Cowboys for the Skins, please, because obviously the Skins not able to do it. Matt Castle will be going out there. Hey, made the big play, the five-play drive, kicked the game-winning field goal against the Skins. But, hey, they're going to Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, hey, he has not been on point. He's lost two straight home games after winning 13 in a row. He pretty much does work against the Cowboys. There's Aaron Rodgers, five touchdowns, no interceptions. Since in the five career games against the Cowboys. He does damage. I think he'll do damage again. Meanwhile, in Houston, big game. The Patriots against the Texans. Hey, we already know the injury woes of the Patriots. Hey, Edelman is out. Gronkowski is out. 31 touchdowns, but he doesn't have anybody to throw to. If you look at by last week, they're really going to struggle without their main people. We don't even know if Amendola is going to play. We already know the offensive line woes in the Texans. That is not a good thing because they still have J.J. Watt. That's right, 13 and a half sacks. I mean, he's making it look too easy out there. 24 tackles for losses. And nobody saying anything. But Brady's old backup, Brian Hoyer, 18 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's really getting it done over there for the Texans. And the Monday night game, the Giants and the Dolphins. Hey, the Giants have a three-game losing streak. I think Tom Coughlin's in a ton of trouble. I think he's going to get it if he doesn't figure out a way to get out of this one. Yeah, I know he has two Super Bowl titles, but remember, three straight years not making the playoffs. The Dolphins, they've been awful defensively. You can run all over them, but the problem is the Giants, they have no running game. They won't be able to run on anybody. So you have two teams struggling with the Giants. They need the victory because, hey, they are still tied for first place somehow in the NFC East with the Skins and the Eagles. All right, well, Monday we'll talk about the NFL. Well, we'll talk about basketball. We're getting it going. Hey, it's the holiday season. Y'all take care. Toodaloo, and bye-bye.